there's a phase where you kind of call burnout. And probably that's what happened because I was doing so much.
Hello, and welcome to the Kick It with Katie podcast. I am your host, Katie Colliker, and welcome to episode 7. Today's episode is going to feature my interview with Alexis Rodriguez. He is from Georgia and somebody that I do not know. So I was really excited to interview him and hear about his story and his journey with soccer. So I'm excited to share that with you guys. I did an interview over the weekend with the Houston Dynapod, so go check that interview out. But one of the questions that they asked me was how I got into podcasting and how long I'd been doing it. And my husband, Justice, had mentioned after I told him about the interview, he was like, oh, did you tell him about the videos that you used to do? Which made me laugh because one of the main things that got me into and interested in doing this podcast was I was recording games, live streaming games from my phone for my kids' soccer teams when we would travel and people couldn't be there. So I would live stream them on Instagram or Facebook. And one of the times I was in Dallas and I got a friend of mine, she was sitting with me and we were just kind of doing some banter back and forth during the game and just chatting it up, and we were calling it Kicking It with Katie, and it was just a lot of fun. And so I really enjoyed that. So that was a good memory for me to remember, and I wanted to share that with you as the listener to know that that was one of the things that got me into doing this, and it was just a fun memory. So I kind of want to see if the videos are still up on the Facebook page that I think they were streamed from. If I can find them, maybe I'll link some of the content or share some of the video clips on the Instagram page. So you can find me on Instagram at Kick It With Katie Podcast, and there's underscore between all the words. Or you can shoot me an email if you would like to be a guest or you have any questions for guests. kickitwithkatiepod@gmail.com, and all that information is in the show notes. And I am going to be branching out in the future. If you are a parent of a current player and you want to talk about soccer, being parent of a soccer player, just shoot me an email if you want to be interviewed for the podcast so we can just have an open discussion. I'm sure that there's other parents that have your same questions and concerns and we can just hash it out. And then also, if you are a parent of a player and you think that your player would want to be interviewed for the podcast about where they are in their soccer journey, that's something that I am also open to. So shoot me an email and I'd be totally down to do interviews with anybody in the program at this point. So just shoot me an email and we can get that set up if that's something that you are interested in. Also, it's still January 30th. I have a giveaway going on my Instagram page. So I've told you guys to watch out for that, and it is still live for a few more days. So I'm giving away a $100 Amazon gift card. So go over to my Instagram page and enter that, and good luck in the giveaway. But here is my interview with Alexis Rodriguez.
Yeah, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, doing well. Excited. Love what you're about. Just wanted to get on to talk about soccer and life, our stories, and so I'm honored to be part of what you got going on. So thank you for letting me.
Yeah, thanks for reaching out. It's always interesting to get new perspectives from people that I don't know, because yes, most of the people I've interviewed so far are people that I do know.
Okay.
And so I'm really interested to get perspectives from people that I'm not familiar with and what their journeys were like.
Yes.
And so I'm really excited to have you on. Yeah. So why don't you go ahead and just tell me, I mean, start from the beginning, you know, where you're from, what your background is, where you played growing up, things like that.
Yes, Miss Katie. So, yes, I'm Alexis Rodriguez, and I'm Latino. So my family is from Colombia, my mom's side, and my dad's side is from Mexico, and I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. And I played. I was introduced to the game, to sports, at an early age. Right after I was, in the crib. So I was looking at tapes in my closet and found, cassettes and DVDs back in the day of where I was watching. And versus at that age, kids watch cartoons. I wasn't really into cartoons. My parents didn't let me have a gaming system like PlayStation, Xbox, or stuff like that. They're like, if you want to play, if anything, you go outside and play sports. So, and if I ever watched anything, I was watching football, basketball, I was watching sports, and I had a natural love and attraction for the game. But my parents instilled in me just to be an active kid and they keep me out of trouble. I was very energetic, so they were telling me to put my energy towards sports. Everything was marching right. I was playing for the local leagues here in Georgia, playing indoor, outdoor, playing basketball. I was into martial arts, swimming. I was into everything that you can imagine. So my parents were, put me in something a lot. But through and I was, a nice student athlete. And then it got to a point. Yeah, this was before I even started school. So I started. I say. Two, 1 or 2 years old, I was already with the ball. And I say at three, my mom lied to the local leagues. I think she registered me at a league where the youngest was supposed to be 5 years old. And she actually ended up lying, telling them I was five and I was three. And so she kept taking me over the years. And they're like, this kid's not, there's no way he's 5 years old for 2 years in a row. So like they caught on. But my mom says that she kind of regrets it because what I'm about to tell you later. About my journey later on, but I'd say it was a good thing because I was playing with older kids since I was little, so I was exposed. It was challenging, but I think in the long run it worked out. But during a period, it kind of broke me a little bit emotionally, mentally, physically, because there was bigger kids, stronger kids, and I was always playing up throughout my grassroots stage, and to the point I told my parents that I wanted to play people my age. But and we ended up doing that. Because, but I was, then I looked at it and I was, much at a better, higher level, than the kids at my age because my parents had done that. But they regretted saying it was, because I couldn't handle the mental aspect of the pressure. So I think during 12, 13 years old, I actually stopped everything. I stopped everything I was doing. And it was like a sudden stop because I also want to say, big in spiritual faith, and I'm a Jehovah's Witness, and my parents were in a divided household. Spirit, I mean, like in faith-wise, my mom was, Catholic by cultural generations, and my dad was studying with the Jehovah's Witness, and I was enrolled at a time where the school where I was at was a different religion, so I was confused in a way with how to handle things, on and off the pitch, on and off the court, the field. So like I was putting so much pressure in myself, and pressure now, as I grew older and mature, is more of so what you put on yourself versus what, your expectations and standards. Pressure is just what you make of it, It can either make it or break it, and it's all about mental how you handle. But unfortunately, I was immature enough. I don't know. I don't want to blame it on no one. I just observational, just trying to analyze things. I don't know if it was the age, because I was the youngest in sports, in my group, but also in the classroom. I had a late birthday. I'm July 20th, 1997, and so my parent, I guess I started school per se early in a sense. I was on the end of where I was on the younger side. So they even, they even thought of holding me back a year, but my dad neglected that because he was like, Alex wouldn't not accept that. He would break down and cry and say he would, I guess because of my expectations in second grade, because my second grade teacher told my dad that they think that it would be an option to me to be held back one more year just for me to be in the older group kids and be more mature. And so my mom was actually for it, but my dad said, knowing how I am, it would not be good for me. So they were more of, pushing me to excel and do. Always do more. So I ended up actually the next year going to third grade. I got honor roll. So no, so like I wanted to prove that I belong where I belong. But I stopped playing at 13. I stopped all sports, and I don't know if it was good or bad. All I just know was that it was just so much pressure. I guess there's a phase where you kind of call burnout, and probably that's what happened. I was doing so much. And it's not to blame anyone. It's just what it was. I stopped and people questioned me, but I wasn't, it was more mental because I couldn't deal with the pressure. But the thing was, I had to analyze and shift that playing should be an enjoyment. It shouldn't be a pressure. You shouldn't feel like that. And I feel like I want to tell my story to also inspire and help other people not go what I went through, to a phase where it was a very dark phase that I had to go to the psychologist. I ended up getting in depression, anxiety, OCD. There was a level where, you know, because of the religion and for sports and the high standards, I wanted to be per se high perfect, but you can't do that. And you fall in that trap of, you know, being obsessed with trying to be perfect, which we'll all fall short and we won't be satisfied. Instead of, you know, falling and being natural and being you and being who you are and knowing who you are and what's your purpose. And, you know, moving with purpose. But I was just confused with so much things, so much pressure in the field and off the field. I had to find myself. And then at that age, at 13, that's when, you know, usually, you know, you're sticking with sports. And you're supposed to be reaching at your, you know, level and keep increasing. And that's the beautiful age at 13. So I stopped, didn't play sports throughout high school. People that knew me would say, question, Alex, you're good. You should be playing. You should be playing for the school team, for the club team, this and that. And I was people that knew me were recruiting me to play. And I just shut it all down and went in a depression phase because that's what I most loved. And I pushed it away. It was more so, yeah, just me trying to know how to cope with things. And I had to understand later. And now where I look back at it, I'm like, wow, you know, the sport should be a therapy for me, if anything, to escape the, you know, quote unquote, anxieties and problems. It should be therapeutic. It should be an enjoyment versus me. It's not that I didn't enjoy it. I would always take it as, you know, take on so much pressure. Right. I would end up going to the psychologist, going to different therapy sessions. And it took me a while you can look me up on YouTube and stuff. I had another interview when I was a little kid, and, you know, it sounds cliched, and what my parents taught me, yes, they were like, why do you play sports? Why do you like it? Well, because, you know, it keeps me healthy and keeps me out of trouble. But at that young age, I would just hear it, but I didn't really understand what it meant until when I got older. And then in the religion, right, they were telling me, you know, oh, you shouldn't play sports because, you know, there were people telling me that it was ungodly and this and that. And I was then confused. Is it that bad? Is it no? And so I find out this world can be cruel and mean and nasty if you let it. Hanging with around the wrong crowd. And that's what I was in the high school and, you know, through school and after school, I was seeing what the other dark side of this world can have. And I was getting lured and tempted to doing things that I wasn't. It was against my teachings and principles and standards with, you know, the drugs and the party life and, you know, the bad habits and girls and all that. So I thank the man above for where I'm at, because I could be doing some other bad things. And I look back and I was like, that's what's bad. If anything, now I get why sports is like a safe haven for me. And I was getting to a point where I was hanging around the wrong crowd and, you know, doing things that they thought it was fun and enjoyment, but that's not what fun and enjoyment was for me. I respect everyone, but my enjoyment is on the field, on giving a good pass, dribbling, shooting, doing a score, making a goal, celebrating with my teammates. I'm a very happy person. I consider myself. I love dancing. So, you know, I love the game, basketball and soccer. Those are my favorite sports, but I love all sports. And so I know that I'm not doing anything wrong playing the game, if anything. So that's when I came to the realization that that's what that meant. And then that's me. So I'd say around the pandemic, when we were all in lockdown, when the world was like on pause, I feel like that's where I found, like, you had to find yourself. You were locked inside in quarantine, just doing nothing. So I was like, no, I can't. I'm not going to go into a deeper depression. So I ended up getting myself in shape, working out, doing at home in the meantime until everything opened back up, went to the gym, started training hard, basketball and soccer. And I was like, you know what? I think this is my calling. I want to go and try out for a pro. That's what, I mean, according to my age, that's what I had to do now, because, you know, I'm 25. And at the point I was like 22, 23. And so I ended up trying out for both basketball and soccer. And I was getting interest from the combines and tryouts I attended, but they saw potential, but I needed to quite, you know, imagine I stopped playing at 13. So it was like over a decade I hadn't played, you know, competitively at a, you know, consistent level. So, but before that, I was playing high level with Academy. I played in Colombia, South America. I played with the Atlanta Silverbacks here. And oh, I had to mention, if you're all, anytime you're here in Atlanta, Georgia, my family, we have a restaurant. I forgot to mention that too. So that's a big part of our culture. We have a Mexican restaurant here in Lawrenceville. My dad's had it for 30 years, so I would help out at the restaurant too. So I had a lot of responsibilities on my shoulders since at a young age. My dad, you know, family business, they teach you it at a young age. As soon as you're born, you know, you're born right into the family business. So I was doing that. I was doing school. I was doing sports, but it was so much to handle. But you know, that's cool. But I felt I needed the maturity, and I just the mental aspect of how knowing how to cope with the things that were coming at me, and they were just coming at me at high speed, and I wasn't able to handle all that. That's why I took a step back, trying to analyze myself. But in that, I almost fell back in my purpose and just doing the things that everyone else does, and just you know, and following the wrong type of crowd. So once I started, you know, getting back to myself, feeling great, did some combines, some tryouts, got some connections with networking agents and stuff, and then I got an opportunity where I'm currently now playing professional soccer in the National Indoor Soccer League with the Columbus Rapids. So I signed a contract back this year, and I'm playing for the 23 season now to May. We'll see what happens. And I felt like throughout just recently, 6 months ago, I had an injury with my knee. So I had to take care of that. And hopefully, I mean, if anything doesn't go wrong before then, I'm going to probably have to do surgery after the season on my knee. That was another mental aspect where I had a, throughout this journey, there's a lot of ups and downs. So it's all about how you respond. A week ago, we had our first game, my first professional debut game on Thursday. So during that week, I had to stay at Columbus, Georgia. That's where the team is at. And it was, you know, lonely because I didn't know no one. I literally cried myself to sleep because this was, you know, one of my first times. Not isn't not my first time, but I've been with my family. You know, I'm very close with them. So even though it was just 2 hours away from where I was staying at, I had to stay with the team, and I had my own room. But I felt lonely, cried myself to sleep. Throughout this journey, it's not how it seems. It's not always butterflies and flowers and, you know, pretty. It's sometimes, you know, there's beauty in the struggle, but, you know, sometimes it's cold. I remember it was cold night after practice, took a cold shower. It was just cold. It was rainy. I don't know. It wasn't rainy anything. It probably was, but it was just a cold night. And I was just like, I felt cold because, like, literally and figuratively, it was harsh environment because, you know, I felt alone. I didn't really talk with no one. So we just did our business and that's it. And, you know, usually in this industry, that's sometimes how it goes. You know, it's just now understanding that it's a business. You know, you just got to do your job. And, you know, not many people just care much about anything after that. So, you know, you just go do perform and that's it. And so I was just, you know, lonely. I mean, I'm happy I'm playing the game, but I just felt lonely. I don't know. But I just wanted to say that to people, you know, understand the real behind the scenes, how it is to be a professional soccer player. It's not always lights and the glamorous lifestyle. It's sometimes lonely journey. You just got to have that mental fortitude to persevere and through the ups and downs, because, you know, if you have a bad game or something, how do you bounce back? It's all about how you respond. We all do mistakes, but including me, I'm sometimes afraid to do mistakes, but that's how, you know, you grow and literally get better by just doing and executing. And if anything, people can say what they want to say, but it's, you got to believe in yourself. Just go out and execute, because people can say this and that. If you don't believe in yourself, no one else will. So you have to find yourself, be confident, but be humble at the same time. There's a difference between cockiness, you know, arrogance versus being humble and being true to yourself and be confident in yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. So because there's going to be people that are going to bring you down. You're going to have negative thoughts. A lot of people, I don't know if they don't know or they don't want to talk about it, but I'm very big and advocate about mental health, because it's a real thing in both female and male. Sometimes, you know, there's a terminology in Spanish, they call it machismo, where my uncle say that no, men are not supposed to cry, but we all have emotions. And It's all about having that emotional intelligence of how to control your emotions. There's nothing wrong with letting your emotions, embracing them. It's just, you've got to learn how to control it. And that's the hard part of finding that balance. Yeah, I just wanted to share that with you and everyone that is able to hear and then this. So yeah, that's what I wanted to kind of say, Miss Katie.
That's great advice. Not all stories are, like you said, going to be sunshine and rainbows. And there are going to be difficult times and where people want to or need to quit for their mental state, and that they need to get with themselves and get recovered and be strong mentally so that they're able to move forward. I know in my episode when I shared my struggles and people said, no, there's no way that you're depressed. You're a very active, healthy person. So it's really hard when you're trying to share your emotions and your feelings with others and they're trying to invalidate what you're feeling. It's like, you're not feeling what I'm feeling.
Correct.
And so it's always good for people to share their emotions and how they're feeling, and people now are starting to respect more of what people are feeling, and they're taking their mental and emotional states more seriously. And that's good, and that's positive. And it's not to say that you are any less strong. I feel like you would be stronger for voicing that. Hiding it isn't going to help make it better. So if you're ever in a state where you need help, asking for help for whatever it is always a good thing. You know, you're mentally strong enough to ask for help, because that is one of the hardest things for human beings to do, is to ask for help. And so it's always good to advocate for that, because that is what we're starting to see more and more of, is people are advocating for mental health. And it's definitely a stigma against athletes in any sport where they're seen as weak if they have problems. And it's like, you're not weak, you're human. And every human has problems and struggles and has emotion, and it's okay for them to share it. It's just, it could be the person down the street from you, or it could be an NBA all-star and somebody, a super famous person, and everybody struggles. And it depends on how you react to those struggles. That's really going to define you as a person and where you're going to go. And so I think that's one of the biggest things, is how are you going to cope with what you're dealing with, is what's going to help define you.
Correct. Very well said.
After you quit as a preteen, it sounds like you still played occasionally, maybe like pickup games or with friends. Is that something that you would do, like in any sport? Would you still go play and try and find enjoyment in it? Or did you literally just leave the ball in the corner and not touch it for a while?
It was kind of impossible. I tried to push it away, but some way or form, it always tried to find me. The coaches that knew me would always say, Alex, I remember the varsity coach when I was a freshman. He watched me play before, and he came to my locker, and he saw that I wasn't fine, because he's like, how were you obsessed, so obsessed? I saw your passion. I saw how you play, and you drop it just like that. It's not going to be healthy. A lot of people tell me that, but I was just so caught up in my head and in my own ways. I tuned that out and didn't care. I lost love for even living in a way, because I didn't find no other way of purpose. And especially as a kid, that you're supposed to, if anything, enjoy and play. And my parents were telling me that I was just, there's a term in Spanish, amargado. I was becoming an unhappy person, and knowing that I'm a very happy person, I was pushing away the thing that I love the most. When you have that mentally, and you're not there, and you're not right, you're not you. So a lot of people try to, my parents pushed me, they actually forced me to a tryout, and I obviously made the team, but I didn't go with the team. So I was still, in gym class, I would play, and a lot of people saw me, a lot of my teammates and classmates, and I would cry because they were like, Alex, you need to play. But I just had made that my decision. I was like, no, I'm not going to play with the team. I was just playing pickup here and there, and I would feel so happy. And I felt that's what kept me going, actually, because, the nice classmates and teammates I had around me would encourage me and give me good talk and encourage me to continue playing, but I was just playing it pickup here and there, both basketball and soccer at the park and stuff like that. And that's what actually kept me going through that time, because I was still playing the game, but I wasn't playing competitively with the team. A lot of people tell me I had that capability and level to do so, but I just didn't choose to until I grew up and I was getting older. And that's the only thing I feel like knew how to do in a way. People are like, if you find your vocation, and if I'm not mistaken, avocation, you won't work a day in your life. If you find, a job that you enjoy and, you do, you won't really see it as work. So, I had, after school, I graduated high school. I actually went to South America to live half a year with my grandparents. I ended up escaping because my parents had to track me down, because I just wanted to escape. I was, depressed, and I didn't find myself. So I booked a flight to Colombia and left right after. It was a couple months after high school, but I was working at my family restaurant. My parents always told me, "Alex, you're not even gonna play nothing. You're not going to school." So I ended up working at their fam at the restaurant. Now I understand why they're like, "You could have had a scholarship and whatnot to go to college and study something." That's how I saw myself, but since I stopped playing, I didn't see no point in it. So I was just working, and now I see why, real life hits you hard. So I realized, now I had to work and make money and stuff. So life is not easy. Reality check hit me, but I still couldn't find myself. So I was just stressed. Couldn't, I wasn't, I'm a very tolerable person. I have a good heart. And I, like I told you, I was lacking in emotional intelligence and mental health. So I would always, I don't want to victimize myself. I just don't know how to say no and yes to certain things just because they, quote unquote, dubbed me too nice. But it was just me trying to, I just need to be mentally strong. I'm very strong in my beliefs, but then my parents always tell me I'm vulnerable in a sense, because I'm so emotional. I'm a very nice person, and I tend to, how did I say it? Let things slide when, there's that fine thin line boundary wise. Even in business, I had a, my parents had to teach me, my dad, most of anything, had a, he's a businessman. And so he knows how to, he's very mature, and I'm still learning from his ways about emotional intelligence, how to deal with people, how to deal with pressure, how to deal with certain situations at the restaurant. And we have, you can only imagine all the types of things we have to deal with at the restaurant per se. So dealing with personnel, dealing with customers, dealing with different other business people and stuff like that. So I just didn't know how to say no and yes, and people try to influence you, and you just gotta maintain still friendly but firm and strict. But I just, because I was so nice, I would just sometimes say yes to things that were so, I was not supposed to say yes to. So it, whether it be an employee, whether it be a customer, whether it be another distributors or other business partners. So yeah, I just got a lot of stress, and like I told you, I didn't know how to handle that. So just escaped to Colombia. Wanting to, I did actually some facial surgery over there because I just decided to. I just had a thought. The psychologist says I'm kind of obsessed with perfection, so I wanted to look a certain way. So I ended up doing facial surgery. My mom caught me in time. She actually tracked my phone and appeared the next day and stopped the transaction because she was like, "Why didn't you tell me?" And this and that. I just didn't want to tell no one. But she was like, "If you really wanted to, I could can talk to a doctor that you that we can that we know back at the hometown where my mom is from in Colombia." But I just flew to another. I ended up doing there. Wanted to stay, finish that. I actually went to, I got a job over there teaching English at an English institute in South America in Colombia. I was modeling. I was dancing. I went to. I was doing a dance school, and then I was like, "Well, I like this life. I'm going. I'm getting active. So let me finish my. I'm going to do college here." And my dad didn't really want to. It's really dangerous over there. I kind of got robbed a couple times and stuff. So my parents were like, "No, come back home. And when you're financially ready, independent, if you want to be, do something over there, live over there on your own terms, you can do so. But I don't think it's the right time." So I ended up coming back. I did a trade school here. I went to a trade school. I did air conditioning and refrigeration for a while. Didn't really like it. I ended up doing an online culinary course. I had some courses in IT and stuff like that. I just was trying myself until working and trying to find my niche until COVID happened and everything shut down, and we were really locked in the house, trying to figure out what was happening and finding ourselves. A lot of people went in a depression slope. The economy went down. Thank the man above that we made it through that time, financially and through the business. We were closed, but we were doing, takeouts and third-party deliveries, and that's what kept us afloat. During that time, like I told you, everything slowed down, and we were kind of forced to, deal with ourselves and in our household. And that's when I looked, I prayed, and I was like, let me give this a shot. This is what I really love to do. This is what I feel I'm competent in at. Let me just get back in shape. Worked really hard, worked out, got myself fit. Just, I was like, let me book, let me get to a combine, a professional tryout, and see what happens. And, little by little, I kept getting more interest. They were like, yeah, you got to keep working, keep working. We see potential, but you need still to, get some level under your belt, because obviously some people didn't know that about me, that I stopped playing for 10 years. So I had to rub off the dust a little bit. So yeah, and I'm still improving, and that's the thing. Like, I feel in anything, if you say that you know it all and you think you got it all, you don't. So you got to maintain humble, and that's the day that you'll stop learning. So I'll never stop learning, and that's the beautiful thing, because every new day you learn something. Every new practice, every new game, every new day of life, whether it be on the field or off of it, you always, learn something. So that's the beautiful thing about life. You have to have a certain drive, obviously, to get things that you want. There's a relative saying where you shouldn't be chasing overly hard. If it's not it, you should let it come to you. And I feel like even that, and that's a style of play as well. Like, even in soccer or basketball, sometimes when you try to force things, it's not going to always go your way, and you get frustrated. So you just do the right things and let the game come to you, versus you trying to chase what you want. If you're in the right mind, in the right set, doing the right things, doing the right pass, playing the right way, defensively, offensively, everything will eventually work out and come your way, and it'll come to you, naturally. So that's what I had to learn too. So
Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you want to add?
Stay in your own path, stay in your own journey. And my journey was unorthodox, if you personally say. A lot of people have a set pathway to play a certain at a certain level, go through academy, go through school, go through college, and then go play pro. But I had a different route. That's a testimony of to everyone, that just as I had my path, everyone has different paths. There's no right or wrong way to per se do certain things. You just, as long as do it for yourself, you move with purpose, understand the why behind the things, the reasons why you do things, and move purposely and deliberately. Think you everything should be proprietary and worthwhile for the things that you want to do. So as long as you're not doing anything harmful to anyone, you're doing what you love, and you're actually inspiring and helping others, there's nothing that can beat that. So yeah, so everyone has their different pathway and journey, and I know that you have, yours, and it's amazing what you do too, allowing to people tell their stories through this platform. So I'm very thankful for this, Miss Katie. I always wanted to have something like this so you can hear everyone else's story and learn from others. So it's really big. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, this is definitely what I wanted the podcast to turn into, is everybody sharing their stories, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, so that people can learn from others and accept what has happened. Basically, just let other people know that you are not alone. Maybe you are somebody that is struggling with something, and here's somebody who did struggle, and this is their journey and their story, and eventually they came back to it. They loved the sport, they loved soccer, they loved being active, and eventually turned it around, got back into it, and now you're playing professional indoor soccer, so that's awesome.
Yes, Miss Katie. So, yeah, I wanted to say that people, they can bring you down, say that it's not possible, but only you are able to dictate that. It's a dark place, and I don't want, and if I can help someone and avoid someone to do to avoid that stage where it's unnecessary. I would love to help people like that, because I didn't want to wish that what I had to go through that phase to anyone, because it can go down spiral real fast, real quick, and very down and deep. So having, and especially if you don't have the right people around you, then it doesn't facilitate that process. So like you said, we're here to, you know, help and inspire others.
Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, Miss Katie.
Thank you guys so much for listening to my interview with Alexis. It was very interesting to hear about his journey and the things that he went through as a youth player. Not everybody's experience is amazing and great, and sometimes that pressure does get to the kids. And I'm really glad that he shared his story, because burnout is real, and there are a lot of players who experience that burnout, and sometimes they do need that help. And so that is something that I definitely advocate for, is if somebody is struggling and they're feeling pressure and feeling overwhelmed, to just make sure that you ask for help, because sometimes it is really hard to ask for help. So thank you, Alexis, for sharing your story, and best of luck with your season, with your team, and hope you are doing well. I have put Alexis's Instagram details in the show notes as well, if you want to see his journey, and you can check him out on Instagram as well, and find out his team and how his team is doing. Remember to go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening and give the show a 5-star review. Thank you so much to those that have been doing that. It's definitely helping the show become more visible and more searchable. So thank you so much for that. And I'm so grateful for you guys that have already been listening. And I love it. And I love the conversation that we're having. And I'm really excited to keep this podcast going. So again, if you're somebody that would like to be interviewed, whether you're a former player, a current player, a parent, shoot me an email and we can set up an interview. Other than that, thanks for kicking it with me, and have a great day. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at kickitwithkatiepodcast _ between all the words. You can reach out to me with questions at kickitwithkatiepod@gmail.com. I also have a feature with SpeakPipe where you can leave me your own voicemail message if you want to be featured on the podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.